You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Yeah, you can't hold me down.
I'm working to be the best quarterback in the country.
Yeah, how you like me now?
Every day. I'm gonna strive to be that. That's what I signed up for.
Hey, yeah.
You know, CEO, I'm in pro.
Field watches downfield. He got it!
He is tossing dimes out here.
Talk about guts.
He is as tough as they come.
Yeah.
15 days away from the draft, people, and today marks an event that could be on a lot of quarterback needy teams' minds as we inch closer and closer to Cleveland. That event, Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields' second pro day. Wait till you hear about all the teams in attendance and the message they want to send to other teams picking past 10. Welcome to NFL Live, everybody. All the latest from Fields' showcase is coming. Plus, the reason the Browns could be Super Bowl contenders. You see my friends right here. We got Marcus Spears, we got Ryan Clark, Matt Miller, Jeff Darlington will be joining us shortly. Let's get right to it, boys. As we begin with Justin Fields throwing at his second pro day at Ohio State today. This time the showcase was private and the 49ers were there. We'll get into the other teams in attendance as you look at some video from today. Fields doing everything he can to get right back in the conversation for the third overall pick in San Francisco. So yesterday, senior draft analyst Mel Kiper Jr. released his mock draft 4.0. He has five quarterbacks selected in the first round, with all of them being taken in the top 10 picks. But you see it right there. The biggest surprises might be the Falcons trading down, taking Trey Lance at 6 overall. The Patriots trading up to the 10th pick to select Fields. I'm really not sure that Justin Fields is going to be there at 10. But as we welcome Jeff Darlington in here now, Jeff, what do you know about the teams that were there to watch Fields today and what it was like?
Well, Laura, it's an interesting dynamic here, right? The 49ers are really the team that kind of instigated this pro day, the second pro day of Justin Fields, because they were at Mac Jones' pro day in Alabama the first time around. Now, they were able to give Justin Fields some different plays to script. Then, though, a bunch of other teams jumping into the mix almost because, well, they don't want to miss out. They don't want the 49ers to see something that they don't see. So all of a sudden, you do have these teams like the Broncos, who are obviously relevant in the quarterback discussion. The Jets, who we believe will be picking a quarterback other than Justin Fields before them. The Patriots, obviously, another intriguing team in attendance. But ultimately, it really does feel like the 49ers are the most intriguing team here. If they, for some reason, decide that Justin Fields is a better fit than they previously thought and we're going to that direction, that would obviously be the stunner of the draft. No doubt Justin Fields is the most intriguing prospect right now when it comes to this NFL draft.
Yeah, and listen, it seems kind of wild that it would change. The narrative has been all about Mac Jones going number 3 overall, but maybe it would, right? And maybe something that these 49ers, Marcus, saw today in running their plays and doing what they wanted to do with Justin Fields would make a difference. What do you think about that when you hear it? Poor Ryan. Ryan, are you okay? We're going to get to Marcus in a second, but Ryan's upset.
I'm so confused as the world that we live in. And I listen, 2020 was crazy, and obviously we feel like it's getting back together. But Jeff Darlington, who I adore, like it's so good to see him on the production meetings in Florida on his back porch all of a sudden, just said that if Justin Fields goes 3, it's the stunner of the draft. Is it because of the news? Nobody's stunned that they're talking about Mac Jones at 3? Listen, Mac Jones is a fine player. This is not going to be hate on Mac Jones Day. But Justin Fields has a skill set that looks perfect in San Francisco. Like, San Francisco is not Atlanta. San Francisco is not Washington. It's not none of those other Shanahan places. It's a certain, there's a certain offense that they run, and it's jet sweeps, and it's motions, and it's boots. Why in the hell would that surprise people, or would it, should it be a stunner if they draft Justin Fields at 3? That seems smart to me. I would applaud that. So the fact that we now live in a world that the 49ers have to go check their boxes of Justin Fields so they can draft Mac Jones, and if Justin Fields does these things, it will make Justin Fields the third pick, and it will be a stunner, is astonishing to me. And I'm sorry for messing up the rundown, Laura, but it made my eyes hurt a little bit. I just couldn't believe it. And now, because I'm hearing it, and I'm like, there is no way.
Yeah, well, you know, the good thing about this show is that the rundown is super flexible, and we roll with the punches either way. You know, Marcus, when you think about Justin Fields and the conversation between him and Mac Jones, because that's now what this has become based on the news that we know and we continue to hear from everybody, you're still drafting on traits, right? If you're looking for somebody who, yes, is going to fit in your system, why would you not look for somebody who's got the traits that are going to elevate your offense? And that's what I think so much of this comes down to.
Well, L Boogie, this is going to sound real familiar with you. You've been around me for a long time as my little sis. All them saying that, I ain't saying that. And everybody keep telling me that it's going to be Mac Jones. And I keep saying, I will believe it when I see it. I can't get out of my mind that they gave away all of that to go up to 3 to take Mac Jones. That is what everybody is saying. I'm not saying that, okay? All the people that's watching ESPN, I'm waiting to be stunned that it's Mac Jones and not just the Fields. Now, to the pro day today, okay? This is not just due diligence. Everybody like, oh, this is a formality. And that. No, these teams have these decisions to make, and it comes down to crunch time. Everybody that's been involved with a draft, everybody that's been a part of a draft or even been drafted understands that the nail biting continues until the card is turned in. There is nothing to give you an indication before these teams draft that something has changed or it's going to be what we've been talking about for weeks. Listen. This is so important. This is one of those situations where we see what San Francisco has done. I've heard people saying you don't make that move without knowing who you're targeting. I don't agree with that. Mm-hmm. I believe there are a couple guys or even 3 that San Francisco still is looking for, and they felt they needed to get that spot in order to ensure themselves one of those guys. I don't look at it as they traded up to number 3, knowing who exactly that guy was. Could be wrong. Everybody else saying it. I ain't saying it. I'm going to wait and see what card is turned in. But Justin Fields doing a pro day today and Lynch and Shanahan showing up, to me, that matters.
Yeah, Marcus, you're right, because actually Shanahan said himself after this big blockbuster trade happened where they got up to the 3 spot that they were comfortable with 3 quarterbacks in that top 5 group. So
they
you're absolutely right there. Now, Matt, I want to go to you here. It's interesting because if you think about Justin Fields, he's no stranger to pressure, but today was big time. This is a private pro day where you've got these teams and some of the biggest names in the NFL there, some of the teams that were there that we talked about before, obviously the 49ers, the Patriots, the Broncos. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do you read, Matt, anything into the teams that were in attendance today?
Yeah, I think you have to. If you need a quarterback, you were in Columbus, Ohio today. You were watching Justin Fields play, unless you're the Jacksonville Jaguars and New York Jets, because we know who they will be selecting. So we can read that into that today in the attendance. If you need a quarterback, you were there. And Ryan Pace, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Ohio State tweeted out a picture. There's Ryan Pace. The Chicago Bears were not on the list of attendees that we all got from Ohio State today. So I think that's very interesting. The Bears were there as well. Here's the key, though. There's so much gamesmanship going on right now. It's not just so we have something to talk about for 2 weeks. We got a lot to talk about. But there's so much gamesmanship going on because the Detroit Lions with pick number 7, they were there. The Carolina Panthers with pick number 8, they were there. Both teams added a quarterback this offseason, Jared Goff, Sam Darnold. Not really cheap quarterbacks either. So I think their attendance today says Denver Broncos, New England Patriots, Chicago Bears. If you want Justin Fields, you better come up to get him, because we're sitting here at 7 and 8, and maybe we fall in love and draft this quarterback who Ryan and Marcus are wisely yelling about on our televisions today. But this could push good players down to Detroit, down to Carolina. There's a lot, like, it's chess when you're figuring out the NFL draft. It's not just, we like Justin Fields, let's draft him. It's, you know, if we act like we like Justin Fields, Penei Sewell could fall to us, or Micah Parsons could fall to us. So there is, don't believe anything you hear or see this time of year from an NFL general manager. I remember the Arizona Cardinals team account tweeting at me, Josh Rosen's our guy, 2 weeks before the NFL draft when they selected Kyler Murray first overall. Don't believe a word you hear right now.
I'm telling you, it is. It is silly season right now, and things get wild every single time we get closer and closer to the draft. But I just got to say, it feels like this year is even more different than it usually is, right? There's even more going on with especially what's going on no with doubt. These quarterbacks, these organizations trying to change their organizations for the future, and you never know what could happen.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's been a long time since Cleveland had success like this.
Jeff running on the left side. He'll be arriving in the end zone.
The lamb, baby.
Miles Garrett did it all.
What a catch by Odell Beckham Jr.
We keep it moving.
And this wonderful season for the Cleveland Browns is going to come up short.
We're setting a new standard here. We're going to be back.
We keep it moving.
Hey, watch out for the Browns. And by the way, they just got better. Their D-line just got a boost. Adam Schefter reporting the Browns are giving Jadeveon Clowney a one-year deal worth up to $10 million. So the former Titans D-end has a new home, and it's with Myles Garrett. Here's Clowney today.
I mean, a lot, man. I mean, you want it by somebody. You can tell that somebody really wants you. They're going to use you the right way. So that was another big part of me making my decision. They wanted me, and when you want it by somebody, you can't just turn it down like a relationship. I want to keep trying, so I'm ready. I don't think everybody got to see the person they drafted yet. I think I'm working back towards that, but I'm well on my way now. They say the sky's the limit, but it's probably higher than that. And they got footprints on the moon, don't they? Well, that's what we're trying to reach. Well, my potential and the way I play the game, if I can stay healthy and stay out there, yeah. I shouldn't be no far away from being the defensive player of the year.
There's a lot there. He says he's going to be defensive player of the year. He's going to the moon. I love it. Clowney had 0 sacks with the Titans and just 3 with the Seahawks the year before, but that doesn't mean he hasn't been a productive pass rusher. In fact, over the last 3 seasons, Jadeveon Clowney ranks 5th in pass rush win rate, beating his blocker in less than 2.5 seconds, a quarter of the time. That's nuts. His new teammate, Myles Garrett, ranks 3rd over that same span, giving Cleveland 2 of the league's best pass rushers. Woo-wee, you think about that D-line with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. And Marcus, as your friend, I just see the happiness in your soul. What does this pairing do for you as a defensive guy?
I mean, it's almost a tearful thing because I think about what Jadeveon Clowney just said. And you know, on this show and all of y'all of my friends, y'all know I talk about how a defensive line is like a basketball team. And the more you can pair guys with special skill sets with a guy that can do everything, the better those players are around him. Myles Garrett is the LeBron James of this D-line / basketball team. And you telling me Jadeveon Clowney with less attention, less double teams, is going to have staying healthy, is going to have the ability to get after the passer and face one-on-ones for the majority of this season?
Yeah.
That's what I love about this. This brings me, first of all, Cleveland, I've already said, is a dark horse Super Bowl contender. I believe that. Also, what I believe is this move puts more onus on that for me. I believe that more now. Because if Jadeveon Clowney stays healthy and plays the way that we've seen him play, and this defense, remember, brought in Troy Hill, remember, was injured a lot last year, and still went toe-to-toe with some of the better teams in this league to get to where they were. And now you add another pass rusher and a guy that can get after it for 2-minute situations, late game situations. When money is on the line to win big games, you need guys like Jadeveon Clowney and Myles Garrett. That's why it is so important to me. That's why I brought a tear to my eye. That's why I feel like I feel about the Cleveland Browns as long as Baker Mayfield continues to progress.
Ryan, this man's out here crying.
Put my glasses back on. I love it. I just love so much about it.
Hey, Lord, that's why I'm laughing. Listen, I love when the big swag gets excited. And if you're a Cleveland Browns fan, it's time to be excited. And, you know, he called them a dark horse team for the Super Bowl. This was a team that was in my top five of AFC teams before free agency. When you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, the Buffalo Bills, I believe the Baltimore Ravens, the Cleveland Browns, that's when you have to start talking about this team. But look how much better they've gotten. We know who they are on offense. They're going to run the football. They're going to ground and pound and get into that play action game because Kevin Stefanski understands Baker Mayfield. But now you look defensively. You add Troy Hill. You add John Johnson on the back end, who I think is an underrated safety in this league, plays at a Pro Bowl level, but he's a guy that also understands getting aligned and right, having everybody in the right place. Sheldon Richardson, obviously you heard him talk about LeBron James of the defense and Myles Garrett. Now, you know, if he says he's the LeBron James of the defense, he's being respectful because he knows that Myles Garrett isn't the greatest of all time, as LeBron is not as well. And so now you add Jadeveon Clowney to that. He's a dude you move around, right? You can get him on guard, or you can get him on interior lineman in the sub package. You can get him with the best matchup against certain tackles that he can beat because Myles Garrett is the guy. This team is going to be hell on wheels this year. That's because they are going to run and they are going to put you on your heels defensively. This is going to be fun to watch. Jadeveon Clowney is a huge move for the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, too, if they end up going defense in the draft as well and adding another piece there. And by the way, if you didn't know, Ryan Clark is a Kobe guy, so that was what all that was about. Also, it was Baker Mayfield's birthday today. He posted on his IG story about this Clowney edition. He said, this is a nice birthday present. Look at that. Baker gets a good B-Day present.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're now just 15 days away from the NFL draft, and Justin Fields held a second pro day today at Ohio State, just a couple weeks now before this draft. This time a private showcase, but in front of some of the biggest names in the NFL world. 49ers were there, Patriots, Panthers, Falcons, Broncos, just to name a few. Hey, we've heard plenty about Zach Wilson and Mac Jones' ability to air it out, but don't overlook Fields. On passes thrown 20-plus yards downfield, Wilson, Fields, and Jones rank 1, 2, and 3 in completion percentage out of 101 FBS quarterbacks. The difference between the three is close to 1%, showing Fields can be just as effective when it comes to throwing the deep ball. We saw that in action, in person, of course, with Ohio State. Now, one thing we know pretty much for sure, Trevor Lawrence will be the number one overall pick by Jacksonville. I mean, Lawrence just got married. Jags fans are actually purchasing gifts for their newlyweds from their wedding registry. Former quarterback Chris Sims was on Adam Schefter's podcast, had this to say about Zach Wilson versus Trevor.
I just like Zach Wilson more. I look at Zach Wilson, and I think his high-end talent is greater than Trevor Lawrence. And I think he's got room to grow as a football player altogether. But when I just look at him, Shefty, I just go, man, I see some Rodgers and Mahomes-like qualities.
You were a front office member like you're talking about. You would take Zach Wilson at number one in this draft over Trevor Lawrence.
I would, yeah.
Woo! Okay, no one is denying Zach Wilson's talent. But, I mean, here's the thing, Ryan. For forever, Trevor Lawrence has been the number one overall pick. What do you think of this suggestion here?
You know, I feel about this the exact same way I used to feel when Texas refused to start Major Applewhite over Chris Sims.
Oh.
That's how I feel. I don't know if you remember that. Major's from BR. Major should have been the starter. We all know this. Chris would go mess it up. Major would go fix it. But Chris is very good at his job. And this is Chris's opinion. I think this would be very, very close to if Ryan Leaf was drafted over Peyton Manning. And not in the sense that we can look at how their careers play out and not think that Zach Wilson is Ryan
Leaf. I don't think that. But what I'm saying is the separation between the two guys is farther than that was to me. Trevor Lawrence has been the presumptive number one pick since he stepped on Clemson's campus. And he's actually done nothing to lose that, to change the way that we see him. The other thing is his floor is a lot higher than Zach Wilson's. And so if you draft Zach Wilson first and he falls apart and he's not as good as you think he is, if he doesn't play like a number one overall pick, then in 4 years, whatever GM that would be that made that decision when he's doing TV with me and Marcus, because he will no longer have a job, he will have to explain to you how he should have drafted Trevor Lawrence, because at least if I draft Trevor Lawrence, people won't look at me as stupid. If you draft Zach Wilson and he doesn't work out, people will think you're stupid.
I think Marcus is bored, so we're going to move to something far more interesting here on NFL Live. Let's get to some player comps and see if we can turn that frown upside down. Matt, let's do this. So who would your comps be for Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson? Start with Lawrence.
Yeah, this is not a hard comp. When you look at Trevor Lawrence, 6'6", he's going to bulk up and fill out that lean frame. He's got a great arm. He's very athletic. And he reminds me of Andrew Luck. Now, we can't pull up a throw of Andrew Luck and be like, oh, my gosh, that's Trevor Lawrence. But from a football IQ standpoint, from a pro readiness, Trevor Lawrence is boring, guys. Marcus is probably bored because he's watching Trevor Lawrence film, because he does everything well. That's not as exciting as a guy who just rips it down the field for 50 yards and lets his receivers go make a play. But he knows how to do everything that you want a modern quarterback to do. He's going to come in like Ryan said. We talk about floor and ceiling a lot in the draft community. His floor is exceptionally high. Trevor Lawrence is.
Yeah.
And that's why we all love him as a draft prospect. Now, on the other side of that, gang, we have Zach Wilson. And when I look at Zach Wilson, everyone wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. No way. To me, he's Kyler Murray. Now, he's a little bit bigger. He's not quite as fast. But what did Kyler get away with a lot at Oklahoma? Yellow balls. That's where you say, I'm only here for a little bit. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to throw the ball down the field and let my guys go make a play. That's what Zach Wilson does. It works against North Texas and Texas State and North Alabama and all those schools. I don't know if it works against Alabama or LSU or Ohio State. That's what scares me about Zach Wilson. And I do agree, if someone drafts him ahead of Trevor Lawrence, I would like to take their job someday and fix that franchise, because that's not a good decision. So we talk, I mean, they're stocks, right? It's about risk. Would you rather buy Amazon or something that like was good for a week? Trevor Lawrence is Amazon stock. We know what he is. You take him first.
I 100% agree with you, Matt, especially on Trevor Lawrence. Listen, when you find guys like this, whether they hit or whether they are just like Trevor Lawrence, middle of the pack, you could justify, right? Nobody would like it, but you would justify. Yeah. You don't think Trevor Lawrence is going to be the 30th or the 28th or the 32nd ranked quarterback in the league ever throughout his career. That is what people are talking about, the floor. You think Trevor Lawrence's floor may be like the 15th best guy, right? So that's what people are talking about with a floor. And then when you get to Wilson, I like that comparison with Kyler Murray, because what I did see last year, what nobody wants to talk about, is Kyler Murray struggled when his athleticism was compromised. When he couldn't move around and really like devastate people with his legs, we saw that offense struggle and begin to sputter. Which is why I think it's a great thing that Arizona went and got James Conner and Chase Edmonds so they could take some of that pressure off of Kyler Murray. But when I look at Zach Wilson and you see the throws, you see the arm strength, you see the things why people are excited, but it's not more than the guy that we've been talking about in Justin Fields. Right. But I love the comparisons, Matt, and I understand where they come from, man.
Let me just throw this out there, too, because I don't think you can overstate leadership ability and the ability of a guy to come into an NFL locker room and have presence there. And what we've seen out of Trevor Lawrence from a leadership perspective, what we saw out of Justin Fields, these guys brought college football back this year when it was really in a tough spot and maybe wasn't coming back. They've been leaders. They've brought their teams to the college football playoff multiple times. I think that factors in, too, if you're thinking about putting your franchise on the shoulders of a young man for the future. All right. We got more coming your way. What
are we missing? What are we missing about Justin Fields?
Maybe he's going to be the third overall pick.
I don't think we are.
Yeah. Matt, maybe.
Okay.
Right?
God.
Yeah. Hopefully we're not. Hopefully all this is just the Niners are just messing with everybody, and we're going to sit there Thursday night together and be like, oh, there we go.
I tell you what, if the Niners have hoodwinked people this much, this is going to be wild.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
UFC Fight Night, Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas, another massive card. Our middleweight main event is 2 years in the making. Eighth-ranked contender Kevin Gastelum finally gets his shot against number one-ranked Robert Whittaker. The prelims start at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on ESPN, followed by the main card on ESPN and ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Don't miss it. Mel Kiper Jr. released his latest mock draft yesterday. His first defensive player off the board is Penn State linebacker Micah Parsons. You see him going ninth overall to the Broncos after Parsons. There's a run on cornerbacks. Kiper has the Dolphins taking Quiddy Pay at pick 18. We got our two defensive guys here, so let's find out who you guys are watching in the draft. We'll start with you, Marcus. Give me your top three prospects in the front seven.
Yeah, listen, number one for me is Micah Parsons. Everybody knows about him. Mm-hmm. He's at Penn State. Penn State history at the linebacker spot. But he really reminds me of Darius Leonard, and they actually used him quite a bit in the rush, as you can see here. But the short area quickness, the long speed as well, the sideline to sideline. This is similar to what you see now in the NFL. These guys have to be able to run and cover a lot of ground because offenses are trying to spread you thin. The next one I'm going with is Barmore. Out of Alabama, interior guy. We haven't talked about D tackles enough, but he's a natural pass rusher because he has great hands. He can use speed, short area quickness. He can bull guys, as you see right here, pushing guys back into the pocket and finishing on the football, which is vitally important in this NFL, in this day and age, for guys to have that ability as well as play to run. And third for me is Quiddy Pay. And I've been looking at this guy, racking my brain, trying to figure out who is he. I played with a guy by the name of Elvis Dumervile in Baltimore. Short, strong, quick lateral movement, has a knack for the pass rush. You get concerned about the length of his arms, but no one can ever lock him up. And the more and more you watch Quiddy Pay, he's great in space, he's physical, and when he bumps guys, they go backwards. Those are my three guys. I look forward to seeing what they do on Sundays.
Sometimes it helps to be a little lower to the ground there. Real powerhouse. All right, RC, your turn. Top three prospects in the defensive backfield for you.
Well, you know, we got to start in the SEC, and that's J.C. Horn. I mean, a lot of people saw him, and he got on your radar against Auburn. We'll blame a little bit of that on Bo Nix, maybe. But he was extremely dominant against Seth Williams. He's a dude that can match up with your bigger receivers. But we've also seen him get in and out of cuts with guys who are smaller. He's a dude that's physical. He tackles. He has the attitude that you want. And he was an absolute stud at his pro day. I look for J.C. Horn to be picked in the top 10 or right around there and be a starter day one. At number two is Patrick Surtain Jr. Listen, his dad was a dog from the 504. No, Pat Surtain Sr. is not from Miami. He's tall. He's big. When I look at him, I think of a guy like Aqib Talib that later on in his career we could see matched up against those big tight ends like Kyle Pitts, or when we saw the Travis Kelce's, the Darren Wallers, because he's going to have that type of versatility. He is a pure press corner coming out of Alabama, and we know how Nick Saban teaches his players. And at three, it's going to be Greg Newsom. I know you're thinking Northwestern. Those are the smart guys. That's ESPN Greeny. No, they play football too. Not everybody from that school eats their pizza with a fork. This dude is fast. He's physical. He's long. He can get in and out of cuts. We've watched him play zone. He understands who his progression is. He understands how to get from number one to two if there's a hitch in the seam. He also tackles. When you have a guy like Greg Newsom that absolutely showed out, low 4'3", 6', he's going to be a player in this league. And maybe if you knew he was playing for Northwestern, you'd understand why Justin Fields maybe struggled a little bit.
Yeah, a shout out to Northwestern. Greeny does eat his pizza with a fork. Matt, you heard their list. Who sticks out to you as the most surefire lock to be a success on the defensive side in this draft?
The reason I love working with these two is because right before I'm going to come on TV and say something, one of them will say it first, even though we didn't prep for this. So RC's right. Greg Newsome gave Justin Fields a long afternoon playing corner. And Brandon Joseph, their All-American safety, who we'll be talking about next year at this time. But yes. Micah Parsons stands out to me. And I know we didn't get to see him play in 2020 mm-hmm. due to the opt-out. But there are not that many human beings walking around the United States who play football like Micah Parsons. 6'3", 240. He's running in the low 4.4s. He's agile. And the Darius Leonard comp is amazing. When I look at him athletically, though, he reminds me of Ryan Shazier, who, unfortunately, we saw his career get cut short due to injury. Ryan Shazier is one of the most athletic linebackers maybe ever. Yes. Micah Parsons is in that conversation, and we saw the Super Bowl. We know how valuable Devin White was to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Micah Parsons is a bigger, stronger, faster version of that. And Devin White's an amazing player. We saw his impact. Micah Parsons will be as well.
Put some respect on LSU's name, but Michael Parsons is a freak show. I remember when he was coming out of high school, I went to Nebraska football camp with my son, and I was looking at this big, tall kid standing in the middle of the field, and I was like, why doesn't that kid have to run the 40? Why isn't he doing the vertical? I'm trying to figure out who he is. And so he's standing in the middle of the field, and we get to one-on-ones. It's wide receiver versus DBs. So the coach asked him, do you want to play wide receiver, Micah? Absolutely. Top five DB in the country. He burnt up. He is toast, peanut butter and jelly. Let's get him out of here. Oh, Micah, you want to play DB? Sure, absolutely. Oh, let me go choke out one of the top 100 players in the country, one of these top 10, top 15 wide receivers. Let me go throw him in the stand with the Nebraska fans, and maybe they can all have some corn or whatever it is that they do up there. Micah Parsons can do whatever the heck he wants, and he is going to be a major piece of a very good defensive front at some point in his career, because he's so versatile, he's physical, he's a run and hit dude. And like Matt mentioned, we saw what run and hit dudes can do to offense. Ask Patrick Mahomes, ask Clyde Edwards-Helaire, ask those people on the Kansas City Chiefs sideline. They don't want to see Devin White again. Imagine him, but a little bit taller.
And faster, apparently. Hey, listen, I agree with you guys on Micah Parsons. No one mentioned Caleb Farley. He's the cornerback out of Virginia Tech who is dealing with some of the injuries, but they say he's healthy, and he's a guy that might be the most complete corner in this draft.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock draft. He has the Patriots trading up to 10th overall to select Justin Fields. It's very similar to Todd McShay's latest mock. He had the Pats trading up to 11th overall to select Fields. In both cases, though, Fields, the fifth quarterback off the board. So let's live in a world where that's true, although I think we can all go ahead and establish that we don't think that's how it's going to go, or at least we don't think that's how it should go, right? He shouldn't last all the way to 10 or 11. But, Ryan, do you like Fields to the Patriots?
Initially, I got all the Fields when it's coming, and not the Justin Fields, but the Fields. I was like, yes, go to the dynasty. And then I was like, oh, hell, did the dynasty move to Tampa? I got really nervous. And so I have mixed emotions, you know, whereas we feel like the New England Patriots are this huge dynasty and that Bill Belichick can do whatever he wants and he understands football, but he doesn't draft well. And so was it Tom Brady holding them together? And so though I would love to see Justin Patriots go to a team that has absolutely dominated the 2000, it does make me nervous. Do they understand how to play with the Justin Fields type quarterback? We've never seen that system. We've never seen that type of player excel under Bill Belichick and his staff. And it doesn't mean that he can't. If Justin Fields is everything that we think he is, he should be great anywhere. But it still makes me wonder, under that type of pressure, under that type of shadow, that type of shade of Tom Brady, could Justin Fields excel?
I'm ready to dance. I'm ready to see them take a step forward. Listen, this team was 7-9 last year, and they were horrible. Like, don't get me wrong. They got some, they had a few good players, but this team shouldn't have won seven games last year. But it's because, right, obviously, Bill Belichick, Josh McDaniels, and what they've grown accustomed to, a bad season for the New England Patriots or anybody would be 7-9. But especially after you lose the greatest quarterback ever, you have 10 dudes opt out of the season, and you're still able to manage to pull something together. And Cam Newton, who hadn't played football in almost 2 years, come as your starting quarterback, and you still manage seven games. Mm-hmm. All right, I got that out of the way. They get Justin Fields, this division will soon be neck and neck with the Buffalo Bills, because right now that is the best team. Mm. But I saw Josh McDaniels implement some things for Cam Newton, which is a preamble to Justin and, yes, what he can do from an athletic standpoint. Mm-hmm. Just rewind the clock. The throwing ability is better than Cam Newton. They went out and got Aguilar. They went, yeah, out and got Kendrick Bourne, Jonnu Smith, and Hunter Henry. This team will be marketably better. Defense-wise, they brought back Van Noy. They getting opt-outs back. Don't trip on the New England Patriots 7-9 season. I believe that was an anomaly. But, ooh, don't get me started if they get Justin Fields, because y'all think I'm a fool now. Watch how I act a fool if they can draft Justin Fields.
Oh, boy.
Right, I mean, I had the Patriots get Justin Fields in my own mock draft. It's unlikely he lasts as long as we're expecting. He's not going to be there at 15. They would have to trade up. But you think Marcus is ready to be foolish? I think if you can get Justin Fields, get the parade route cleared again, because you're going for seven, wow, in New England. If, whoa, you get Justin Fields, and I understand what Ryan's saying, it's hard to be the guy after Tom Brady, but he doesn't have to be. He has to be the guy after, yeah, Cam Newton. And I think he is, as Marcus said, I think he's a better version of where Cam Newton is right now. Not saying what Cam came out of Auburn, but he's a better version of Cam Newton right now at 6'3", 230, an arm that can make every throw. So Jeff will be covering another Super Bowl parade in New England if they get Justin Fields.
Ooh, Jeff.
Mm. Yeah, I doubt it. I'll be in Tampa.
Sorry, you gotta leave the sunshine.
Look, here's the deal. Yeah, I'm going over to Tampa, my man. It's gonna be okay. Look, here's the thing. We don't know. It's so fascinating because we have no precedent when it comes to Bill Belichick drafting quarterbacks. We really just don't know whether he's gonna, yes, be willing to put the priority on it that it's going to take to move up to get Justin Fields. Like, literally, in two decades, he hasn't had to do that. And even when he drafted Tom Brady, it was in the sixth round. So I am fascinated that the idea that we don't know something about Bill Belichick after two decades of witnessing him draft players, yep, and spend money in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, Marcus, the one thing is, like, they did go nuts in free agency. The Patriots were the story of the whole thing, so maybe things are going to be different. What, yeah, do you think, yeah, about this Super Bowl parade for the Pats if they get Justin Fields?
I like it. I like where Matt is. But let me make a reference on something Jeff just said. I thought the same thing about Nick Saban until Laura Rutledge and I were covering a league where he brought in Lane Kiffin,
yep,
to bring his offense up, mm-hmm, to speed with what the trend of college is. Now, if I put any stock into Bill Belichick's greatness, he will not let this pass him by. He will understand, based on what he's been able to do and accomplish as a coach, that some of his philosophy potentially needs to change in order to be up with the times, mm-hmm, in the NFL. If he's, yeah, stubborn and, mm-hmm, doesn't do it, yep, obviously they won't have success. But I refuse to believe Bill Belichick won't be ready if they can get Justin Fields.
That's a really interesting,
amen,
point,
Rice,
and the parallels are, yeah, very obvious between Belichick and Saban. Time for one more thing before we go. Aaron Rodgers' signature wit on display as guest host of Jeopardy. Listen to this.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh? Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Aaron Rodgers, really clever. What do you guys got on the side part, though? It was a deep side part. You know, apparently Gen Z says we're supposed to be all middle part. I don't know if you guys know anything about that.
Tough.
Crickets. Okay.
Tough
well,
look. The
well, we still got 10
look.
Seconds, so hopefully somebody hey, will say something.
Jumping,
we'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Middle part, guys. Come on.